We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Netilas Yodayim Shachris, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Gimel. This halacha again is based on chapter 65 in Likutei Moran. And as usual, Rav Nosson Zal gave us a short summary of that Torah in Likutei Moran in the beginning. Then the piece we covered in the previous Shir explained the concept of washing your hands in the morning when you wake up and connected it to that chapter of Likutei Moran. The concepts Rabbeinu Zal described in chapter 65 in Likutei Moran. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going into a new topic, the topic of Chanukah, the holiday of Chanukah, tied into that same chapter in Likutei Moran. He's going to use the same basic concepts that are presented there to shed new light on the holiday of Chanukah. And we'll try, as we discuss it, to give as much clarity as we can of the Likutei Moran that ties into this. Paragraph Gimel, V'zeh b'chinas toikef hanes shel Chanukah. Based on what we're learning here, we'll be able to understand the powerful miracle of Chanukah, ad shezochinu lemitzvah chadosha, to the point where the miracle was so great that it actually added a new mitzvah to Judaism, which is lahadlik ner Chanukah bebeisenu b'chol shana, to light Chanukah candles in our homes every single year. This is a chiddush, that lighting Chanukah candles is one of the seven mitzvahs derabbanan, one of the seven mitzvahs that the rabbis added on to the 613 mitzvahs d'oraisa. But it's a very official mitzvah. It's an official holiday. Ki hadlokas ner Chanukah madlikin mehazricha shel horishimu hakdoisha shel habitul el atachlis shemikom shemishom kol kabolas hatoiro v'hamitzvois. Rabbeinu Zal had explained over there in Likutei Moran that there are certain times when a Jew is zeche to bitul. Bitul means to nullify and negate their physical portion of them, and to go totally spiritual, in a sense. And when a person does that, we gave an example of that with sleep. When a person goes to sleep, the body shuts down 97%, 98%. Certainly the consciousness shuts down, and the soul goes up. Right before we go to sleep, we say the pasuk, Biyodcho afkid ruchi, Hashem, I'm giving over my soul, my spirit, into your hands for safekeeping until tomorrow morning when I'll take it back, you know, in a sense. So that was one example of this bitul, and we're going to see that there are many examples of this. Rav Nosson Zal tells us now that the Chanukah candles that we light, okay, so when we spoke about this bitul, we said that the person's soul goes up to a very, very high place, a very high light, where it can be, where it can remain for a limited period of time. Once that limited period of time is over, the soul returns. It comes back down. The light stays back up there. The soul comes back. So a person would say, what did you accomplish? The answer is that there's a rishimu, there's an imprint. There's a little bit of that light that's left with the person that they bring down with them, and that alone is millions of watts, megawatts of spiritual power and energy that can help the person in serving Hashem, you know, afterwards. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us that the Chanukah candles that we light are an example of a mitzvah that we have that receives from that great light. It receives from that bitul el hatachlis, from souls going up to that very high place and returning, coming back down, and bringing with them a little bit of that light. And Rav Nosson Zal says, Shemishom kol kabolas hatorah v'mitzvois. Because in actuality, the entire Torah and all of its mitzvois come from there. They come from that high spiritual place. Shehem bechinas klal kol ha'oirois hakdoishois. The Torah and its mitzvahs represent all of the holy lights that come from Hashem. Bechinas, where do we see that? It's a pasuk. kiner mitzvah v'toira oir. A mitzvah is compared to a candle, and the Torah is compared to light. So when we're speaking here about going up to a place of very high spiritual light, we're talking about going up to the place from which the Torah and mitzvahs draw their light. Mevatlin kol hatzorois v'asitrachra. And as we learned previously, when a person is zeicher to go up to that very high place of light, of das, light means light, and light also means enlightenment. Das, Torah. When a person goes up to that super high level of das, that nullifies all suffering, all sitra achra, shemehem yenikas malchus v'akum, which is the source from which all the non-Jewish kingdoms draw their power. All of the opposition of the Jewish people, the Romans, the Greeks, all the different nations that exiled us and tormented us along the way, along our history, they draw their energy from the sitra achra, the other side. They draw their energy from the same place from which all of our suffering and pain and problems come from. And we learned earlier that the Gemara makes a statement, im das konisa ma chosarta. If a person has acquired das, what are they lacking? They're not lacking anything. Because the more a person goes to higher and higher levels of das, of spirituality, the more they do away with, they erase all of their physical problems. All of their physical problems and all the physical obstacles that would block them from being close to Hashem, from achieving total happiness, total fulfillment. Ki malchus akum omdo al Yisrael ashkicham terasecha, because the non-Jewish kingdom, the kingdom of the Greeks at that time, rose up to try to get the Jews to forget their Torah. Ki yodu, because they realized she'ikar ha'hizgabrus kenegdom hu al yedei ha'Torah kanal, that the main weapon that the Jewish people have against their enemies is the Torah. So, because as long as the Jews are totally committed to the Torah and they're learning Torah the way they're supposed to be, we're in the Torah is das, we're connecting with that high level das, we don't lack anything. Nobody can cause us to be lack. When we say we don't lack anything, it means nobody can make problems for us. Nobody can cause us to be lacking in anything. That's why the Greeks wanted to try to get the Jews to part from the Torah, to forget the Torah. Avol, however, hatzadikim sheboy seidor, the tzadikim of that generation, shehem matisio koin godol ubonov, which were the Kohanim, bitlu atzmon betachlis habitula Hashem yisborach. They negated themselves totally to Hashem. They were willing to let go, not to get involved in materialism at all, not to be involved in the materialistic world, but to be totally dedicated to Hashem, to Torah and mitzvahs. V'hishlichu nafsha mineged, and they put their physical bodies aside. U'mosru nafsha b'shvil Yisrael, they put their life in danger for the sake of Klal Yisrael. They were ready to take on the Greek Empire, a handful of people, who said, we'll handle this for the Jewish people. Shezeo b'chinas bitul. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is also an example of bitul. When Jewish people are moiser nefesh for Hashem. When a Jew says, I know that I'm made up of two things, a body and the soul. And they're both pretty important. You can't live without either one. However, between the two, there's no question in my mind that the soul is a billion times more important than the body. So sometimes the body has to take a back seat. In other words, for example, when I'm learning Torah, if the body wants to eat, it wants to sleep, it wants to play, this, that, tough. I'm busy right now. I'm learning Torah. I'll let you know when I'm free for those other things, other interests. And another example of it is when a Jew is prepared to put their life on the line. When a non-Jew says, your religion or your life, And the Jew says, my life, no problem, you know, take my life. Not that's secondary. There's nothing that I will give up my religion for. Like these, Matisyo Ken Goodland said, knew that they were risking their lives in challenging the Greek Empire at the time. So this is also an example of bitul el ha-tachlis, that they're not looking at the physical world, they're connecting up there. We're connected up there. Whatever happens to our bodies, this, that, is secondary. Rav Nosson Zal says now, ki zehu ikar ho'etzo ha-gedoylo ho'amitius b'chol ha-tzores chas v'sholom sho'ovrim al Yisrael b'klolius, because this is the greatest true solution regarding all suffering that the Jewish people go through as a nation, or whatever suffering an individual Jew happens to be going through. There is no real advice or real solution as to how to escape those problems and suffering, other than being able to nullify yourself to Hashem, being able to connect totally with Hashem. Dehainu, Rav Nosson Zal redefines this, listoim einov b'chazoka, to close his eyes very tightly shut, to show that he's closing himself totally, he's letting go completely from the materialistic physical world, v'lasoi satzmoi kiyoshen, and to make himself as like he's asleep, ulevatel atzmoi betachlis habitul, and to nullify himself, to nullify his physical being totally, completely, ki'ilu ein boi shum hargosho klal, as if he doesn't feel anything. If you punch him, if you slap him, if you yell at him, nothing. He's not there. The body is shut down totally. Rak ledabek ulevatel machshavtoi el oyer ho'ein soif yisborach. But rather, he's connecting his mind, his soul, his spiritual essence, he's connecting it to the infinite light of Hashem, meaning to a very high level of spirituality of Hashem. Ki afal pi she'eino yochel liskois lebitul bishleimus, kemoi gedoylei hatzadikim ashleimim, because even though a regular people like us cannot necessarily experience real bitul in the true sense, like the Shulchan Aruch mentions, like we mentioned regarding the laws of Shmoneh Esrei, that it introduces those laws by saying, listen guys, the tzaddikim of the previous generations, when they were about to start Shmoneh Esrei, first they unplugged the body, totally. They let go completely of their physical being, and the Shulchan Aruch uses the term hispashtus hagashmius. They strip themselves totally of their physical being, and that's how they went into Shmoneh Esrei. You know, the parts of tefillah before that are also connecting with Hashem. You're speaking to Hashem, you're connecting with Hashem. But Shmoneh Esrei is the peak, it's the top. Throughout the Shachris, the Sforim, the Sifrei Kabbalah, and Sifrei Hasidus show us how a person is climbing a ladder. They're going from world to world, literally. The Karbonos, the first portion of the tefillah, it represents fixing what we need to fix in the physical world that we're existing in, called the Olam Huasiya. As soon as they say Kaddish after Rabbi Shmuel Omer, and they go into Hodu or Baruch Shomar, depending on whether you daven Nusach Ashkenaz or Sfarad, you're entering into a new world, a new spiritual world. The person is leaving the Olam Huasiya, going into the Olam HaYetzirah, the world of the angels, it's called. When that's Psukei Dezimra. When a person finishes that, Yishtabach, another Kaddish, the person's leaving that Olam HaYetzirah, going to the next world called the Olam HaBriya, the world of the throne of Hashem. When a person is about to start Shmoneh Esrei, before we start Shmoneh Esrei, we take three steps backwards, which the Sforim explain we are exiting. Now we're exiting all of those worlds, and then when we take those three steps forward, we're entering into the throne room of Hashem, which means like the highest level of spiritual contact with Hashem. And this is why the Shulchan Aruch says that the laws for Shmoneh Esrei are much different than the rest of tefillah. There's a whole new set of requirements. In general, when you're davening, you're supposed to try to be focused, thinking about Hashem, not holding things in your hands, no blackberries, no greenberries, none of the nonsense. But when it comes to Shmon Esrei, it's a different league of seriousness, because you're standing right in front of Hashem's face, Kav Yochel. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the great tzaddikim, when they were about to go in there, they didn't take off their shirt, they took off their body. They disconnected totally, unplugged completely from the body, and now the neshama, the soul, moved forward, you know, to this dveikus, to the Oyer Ein Sof of Hashem, to make a deep, deep connection with the infinite light of Hashem. So now Rav Nosson Zal tells us, even though not every Jew is capable of doing that to the full extent, afal pikein, despite that, yochol kolodom levatel atzmoi ezesho, every single Jew has the ability to do this on their level for a limited time, im yirtze be'emes, if the person really wants to do it. The person is serious and they want to be able to unplug from the world, from the physical world that we're in, and travel, go up to a much higher place. Every single Jew has the ability to do that. Like we said before, close his eyes very, very tightly and let go. Take his mind off anything, parnasa, health, food, everything, and try to connect with Hashem, just Hashem. Val yedei habitul, and by a Jew doing this, yisbatlu mimenu hayisurim v'atzoris, the person will actually remove all pain and suffering. We gave an example in the previous year. Person sitting in the dentist chair, and the dentist's been working on him for a half hour, and the person's cringing, or it was very uncomfortable and unpleasant that first 30 minutes. But then the dentist says, guess what? Surprise. This was all introduction. Now we're going to get serious. You see this thing here? This thing is going to drill. This thing can go through stone, marble, and it's going to go through your tooth, through your this, into your... So get ready. And most normal people, when they hear that, what they do is, the second that drill starts going, they close their eyes tight. Sometimes they'll clench their teeth as a means of preparing to handle that pain. Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likutei Moran, Hashem has made that be the natural reaction, because the more, just like when you want to see physically, a person who has 20/20 vision, let's say can see on a clear day, they can see a mile or two out into the ocean. If they want to see a little further than that, if there's a ship that's 4 miles out there and you want to see it, what do? You squint. By making the opening of the eye smaller, that allows you to be able to see further than you can when the eye is fully open. Rabbeinu Zal explains, because the more you lessen what you're looking at in the physical world, the more you're able to see further out. So that he says, if a person wants to be able to see past the physical world completely, this world which has good and bad in it. The Gemara says, in this world, when something good happens, you make a brocha toiv ha-metiv. When a tragedy happens, you make a brocha dynamis. Rabbeinu Zal says, if you want to see into the next world, into the spiritual world, where there it's kuloi toiv, there is no dynamis. There it's bayom ahu yi Hashem echod shmo echod. In order to do that, you have to close your eyes completely to the physical world. Not just closing them, but even clenching them tightly shut. And the more you're able to do that seriously, if you want, that will allow you to see past the physical world into a spiritual place, into a place where everything is good. And that can negate, that can allow the person not to feel any pain, any suffering, any problems, and they can actually erase the pain and suffering and problems sometimes. However, as we mentioned in the previous year, acharkach, when the person finishes that experience, let's say Shmon Esrei, can be 5 minutes, 7 minutes that a person can do this, or if a person's doing it at another time. Acharkach, however, when the person finishes that, yochoy lihiyois sheizgabru yoiser chasushon, it's possible for the person's problems and suffering and pain to come back even stronger than they were before. Because as we mentioned earlier, when two people are fighting each other and one sees that the other one's winning, that the other one's getting on top, Very often, the one who's under starts putting everything he has into it to try to topple it, to try to turn things over. So when the Yetzirah, when the forces of Tumah see that a Jew is starting to win, that this Jew is taking off, he's leaving the place of physical problems and all shtuyot of this world, and he's going beyond that to a place of spirituality, they say, one second, we know he's coming back down. When he comes down, we're going to be ready for him. We're going to be ready to hit him harder than we did before. V'tzorech lehizgaber levatlam. Therefore, the person has to be ready to work hard to defeat them. How? Al yedei chidushei Torah. Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran that when a person is zeichet to learn to reveal new things in Torah, new concepts in Torah, if he's on the level to do that, or if he learns new portions of Torah that he never learned before, that's a second level. Or third level, if he learns things that he's been learning till now, but he learns it with a newness, brand new, as if he's learning it for the first time, these are all different levels of what's called chidushei Torah. Oy al yedei esik haTorah becheshik chodosh. Now he mentions the third thing that we mentioned. Or the person studies Torah with a new intensity, with a new love and desire. That's an incredible, powerful weapon to defeat the enemies, to defeat the Sitrachra in all of its shapes and forms. Paragraph Dalit. V'alkein Iker Kabbalas HaTorah Hoya Idei B'chinas Zois. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, now I'll show you how when the Jews received the Torah on Har Sinai, it also followed this format, this pattern. Al Yidei Shoya T'chilo B'tzorah G'doyla B'mitzrayim. At first, they were sitting in the dentist chair and the guy started drilling. How? They were in Egypt. They were enslaved in Egypt for 210 years of Avodah Kosha. Drilling, full-time drilling, Rachman al-Islam. Ad Shebo Moshe Rabbeinu, until Moshe Rabbeinu came along, this great tzaddik, U'bitel atzmoy betachlis habitul. And Moshe Rabbeinu negated himself totally. He nullified himself completely. As the Pasuk testifies, V'ho'ish Moshe onav mo'id. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble, modest person. What is humble? Nothing. He was zero. He said it. When the Jews started complaining to him, he said, what are you complaining to us for? V'nachnu mo. We are nothing. A person who can say he's nothing and really mean it, what do you mean nothing? Look, you're 600 pounds. You have a cot. I'm zero. I don't have anything. I don't exist in this world. I'm just a part of Hashem. I'm just something that's a spiritual being that's connected to Hashem. Shezeu b'chinas tachlis habitul. This is another example of the ultimate bitul. Shehu b'chinas anovo amitis, which is real, true humility. When a person does that, a person is really humble. That's this incredible level of bitul. There's something I'm going to say now, which some people might find very, very difficult to handle, to comprehend. But we're going to say it anyway because it's part of the Torah, and you need to hear it. And if you continue, if you just hear this and you jump out the window or you leave, you're going to be left with something possibly a little bit distasteful. If you stick around another couple of minutes, you're going to appreciate it. You're going to understand that this isn't nonsense. There's a Rabbeinu Yoina in Pirkei Avos, in one place in Pirkei Avos, where Rabbeinu Yoina mentions, Rabbeinu Yoina was one of the Rishonim. He lived approximately 1,000 years ago. We're talking about an incredible high level of greatness. And Rabbeinu Yoina mentions, I think he mentions it about himself or about another great tzaddik, one of the great tzaddikim during his time, who was riding on a ship once with non-Jews, you know, lowlifes, all kinds of sailors and those kind of guys who are usually not highly educated, not that refined, not very refined people. And some of them realized that he was a Jew, and they hated Jews, they despised Jews. So at one point during the travels, they started cursing at him and laughing at him, making fun of him. And then they thought they had to go a little bit further, so they started spitting on him, on a great rabbi, a great tzaddik. His response was, Zero. He saw the situation. He understood he wasn't in a position to physically fight them. The Torah tells us that these great tzaddikim, if they want, can say a word and have the Rishon disappear, but that's something they use when they choose to use it. They want to, they do. They don't want to, they don't. Then one of these guys wasn't satisfied enough because he saw he hadn't crushed this Jew. He hadn't destroyed him. So this person actually went ahead. In other words, this tzaddik, Rabbi Yonah, whoever it was sitting at that point in time. He went over to him and urinated on him, on this tzaddik, this rabbi. And the tzaddik writes that this was one of the greatest days of my life. Or he writes, this was the greatest day of his life, because he wrote that when this happened, he did this bitul. He negated himself totally. He took himself out of the body. He went upstairs. His neshama went upstairs to Hashem. You saw he was able to realize a level of spirituality where it didn't hurt him, it didn't affect him one iota. That's another example of this term bitul that we're describing here, where you have to. Now, we know these stories about the Holocaust. We read about the Holocaust, the Spanish Inquisition, where there were Jews who were burned, there were Jews who were tortured and didn't make a sound. They were able to, again, close their eyes and transport themselves somewhere else, where whatever the person did to the body, it didn't count. It didn't. They weren't there at the time. They weren't part. They weren't in the body. They were in a different place completely. I'm just giving along the way. We've mentioned so far a few examples of this beetle. Rav Nosson Zal told us here that he heard from Rabbi Nachman that even though this is something that usually is reserved for great tzaddikim, the fact that it appears in Shulchan Aruch as halacha means that this applies to every single Jew on our level. Every Jew who really wants has the ability for a limited time, for a couple of minutes, to close their eyes very tightly and to let go, to try to unplug themselves from everything physical and be connected at that time, be focusing only on my connection to Hashem. I am a neshama that is attached to Hashem, period. Vayidei habitul azeh, and by Moshe Rabbeinu achieving this spiritual level where the Torah testifies about him, onav ma'oid, the highest level of humility that any human being ever achieved, detail kol hatzorais. That's how he was able to zap all the suffering of the Jewish people. He was able to put a stop to all the Jewish suffering, the goal is sami Mitzrayim, and he took us out of Egypt, the chola tumois vasitrachra, and took us out of all the impurity, all the defilement, and everything. Umebechinas habitul hazeh, himshich lano es hatoira, legareish hasitrachra vaklipois, shelizgabru biois rachakanal. And after he did that, after round one, when he did this incredible bitul, and that helped him put an end to all the suffering and everything, he realized that when he comes out of that bitul, even Moshe Rabbeinu, as long as he's physically living in the world, he can't stay there. When a tzaddik passes away, that's when the bitul becomes a permanent experience. But as long as he's still alive, he's not allowed to commit suicide. He's not allowed to leave, take a permanent leave. So he's got to come back down. And knowing that when he would come back down, the other side would attack even stronger, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu made sure to give the Torah to the Jewish people, the Matan Torah that took place. V'alkein huchrichu levroyach mimitzrayim, and that's why the Jews were forced to run away like bandits from Egypt. Why run? If the Jews are on top, if Moshe Rabbeinu is so great, and this is miracle time, why are we running? Moshe Rabbeinu wiped the floors with Mitzrayim. He turned their water into blood and blood into everything. Why are we running? The answer is, Machma shehoyo koidem kabolas haTorah, because the Jews had not yet received the Torah officially. Ube Mitzrayim lo hoyo efsholi tina Torah. And in Egypt itself, Hashem couldn't give the Torah. He didn't want to give the Torah in the land of Egypt. Ki hoyo meleya gilulim, because Egypt was full of spiritual filth, idols, wall-to-wall idols. Alkein be'emes hoyakosha v'koveid mo'oid lotzeis mimitzrayim. This is why it was so difficult for the Jews to be able to leave Egypt. Because each time that Moshe Rabbeinu humbled himself and negated himself totally before Hashem, Veheir al Yisrael b'chinas bitul, and he shined upon the Jewish people that high-level light that he connected to, ki hoidio lehem shmoyis barach, because the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu enlightened the Jewish people. He revealed to them the names of Hashem, Veheir aleihem oir ha'ein soif. And Moshe Rabbeinu shined upon the Jewish people some of that infinite light of Hashem. Velimdom lehizdapek ulizbatele levizbarach. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jews how to nullify themselves, to Hashem. Ach kol ma shebitel esatzmai beyoser. The more Moshe Rabbeinu kept doing this, hizgabru hamitzriyim beyoser. The Egyptians came back for another round. They kept coming back again and again. V'chbidu eslibam b'yoyser. And they hardened their hearts even more. They became more stubborn and more stubborn. You know, sometimes a child, when a child doesn't want to do something, and the parents, when a child decides, makes a decision that they're not doing something, and the parent says, you're not going to do it? Okay, here you go. Slap. Now you're going to do it? Child doesn't even move. 10 slaps. Child doesn't move. And you picture, what's he, crazy? The answer is no. He's locked his mind into something. He's made a decision that he's not doing this. And again, he's put his brain somewhere else. You know, hit me 1,000 times. That's the ability that the brain has. The brain is something spiritual. A person can take themselves somewhere else where, to a degree, they don't feel the pain. Pain is nothing. It doesn't mean anything to them. Rav Nosson says the reason why it wasn't completed in Mitzrayim was because, as Rabbeinu Zal explained in Likutei Moharan, this beetle has to be two-directional. The person has to go up and come back down and bring down with them new Torah. Ki oz hayokoshe lahamshich Torah b'chol pam. Because while they were in Egypt, while the Egyptians were still around, it was very difficult to bring new Torah down. Ach bechemlas Hashem osu imonu nisim v'nefloiz gedolos v'nerois. However, with Hashem's kindness, Hashem performed incredible miracles. At sheheir al Yisrael he'ora gedolah v'atzuma moed b'leil shimurim. To the point where Hashem shined down upon us a very, very bright spiritual light on the night of Pesach. Kama shekosu, as the pasuk says, v'ovarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem said, I passed through the land of Egypt. The targum on that word says, v'isgilesi, I revealed myself in the land of Egypt. Meaning again, Hashem took off the kid gloves. Hashem took off the coverings. He revealed his true light in Egypt to a degree, and that's what lit up the skies and everything on that final night, the night of Makas Bechoris. Ukemuva bekavonos, as is described in the writings of the Arizal, ad shemigoydel haheoro noflu umesu kol bechorim Mitzrayim, to the point where, as a result of the incredible bright light that Hashem revealed on that night, that caused all the firstborn of Egypt to be destroyed. Shehayu oirvim lehizgarois ulizgabra al yedei ze daika. Because again, they were lying in waiting to try to get stronger, to keep coming back again and again against the Jewish people. Ki lo yehayu choylim lizboil afilu mirochoik hisnoitetzus ho'or hagodol azeh. Because they couldn't handle, even from the distance, this light, this bright light that Hashem was shining at that night. Ki oz bechemlosoi heir aleinu oir godol moed kol halayla hagdosh azois shehuleil shimurim. Because on that night, Hashem's incredible kindness shone down upon us with this super high level light throughout the entire night. That's why that night is called Leil Shimurim, the night when the Jews were protected. Ad shenizbatel koyach hasitrachra, to the point where the power of the other side was defeated, shehu b'chinas malchus Mitzrayim, the kingdom of Egypt, oz ma'oid, to a very large degree. They were defeated 90%, you know. Va'oz Baruch Hu Yisrael taketh. And then the Jewish people ran away immediately. Ki huchrechu levroyach, they were compelled to run. Machma shebehechrech sheyashuvu me'abitul, because they had to come back down from that great light. Afal pi shenim shacharbe, even though the light was shining very brightly and for a long time, they couldn't stay there permanently. And when that light would shut down, if the Egyptians had not been destroyed completely, they could come back even stronger. And that's why the Jews were forced to run away. Because it was impossible at that time to draw Torah down, which would have been the solution to finish off the Egyptians totally. V'alkein be'emes rodfu Mitzrayim achakach kishehu gad l'paroi kiborachom. And that's why we find that the Egyptians went after them again. When Paro found out that the Jews had escaped, they came running after them. Ki afal bishen is batlu. Because even though Paro and the Egyptians were defeated to a very large degree on that night, despite that, they came back new. They came back for another round. Because there wasn't that phase two that's a critical piece of this. There wasn't a real Kabbalah Satoira, which is what's needed to finish the process, to finish them off completely. Ki ikar bitulam legamri bishleimus hu al yedei ha-Toira shemamshichem achakach mehorashimu shel ha-bitul v'kanal. Because what finishes the job is only when the person experiences that tremendous high, when they come back down and they bring Torah, a new Torah down with them. Ve'oz lo yehoyef shradayin l'kabbalah Torah. And at that point in time, at Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was not yet possible for the Jews to receive the Torah. Al kein hizgaber v'hichbid liboy v'rod avachreim adayom. Therefore, Paroi came back with new energy, and he hardened his heart, and he went after them, chasing them all the way. Al kein hoyuoz be'emes b'sakona gedoyla. And that's why the Jewish people were really in tremendous danger at that time. Because Paroi didn't come back crushed. He came back on fire, screaming, wanting to really destroy the Jews totally. And he brought with him his full power. He opened the throttle fully. Sheish meyois rechev bochur. The Torah says he brought 600 of the choicest war chariots, meaning he brought out his most powerful weapon that he had at that time. The Arizal shows that the words that are used there in the Torah, every word refers to different secrets that showed the great power that Paro used at that time. The word rechev, Reish Chav Beis, is Bigematria 222. In Hebrew, the word ois means a letter, and the word ois can also mean a word. There are some places where we find the word ois is used to refer to a word. So the Arizal says he brought his entire army. What was his entire army? He took sheish, he took six from the word rechev. The word rechev is 222. When you take 6 away from 222, what do you get? You get 216, which is Bigematria Gevura, the word Gevura. The Arizal says, which means Paroi grabbed hold of the Midas HaGevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the word Bochur, which comes afterward. The word Bochur means choicest. The word Bochur is again Bigematria Gevura. So he took Gevura and Gevura. Paroi came with two pistols. He came loaded. Shehem klal kol hakoychoy shel asitrachra vadinim rachmano tzlan kemuva. The Arizal says that the Torah is showing us that Paro brought with him for that grand finale the full spectrum of all the power that the Sitra Achra has, all the power that the other side has. Ki oz achar habitul mizgabren yoyser v'yoyser kanal. Because as Rabbi Nachman explained over there in Likutei Moran, when a Jew comes back from that beetle, the Sitra Achra comes back stronger, stronger. Just like the Gemara says, kol hagodol mechaveroi, a person who rises above his friends, he rises to a new level, Yitzroi godli menu. They give him a new Yetzara. They say, ha, 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 you ain't in elementary school, you're in high school now. New opponents, new opposition. Aval Hashem Yisborach b'chemlosoi chomal aleinu. However, Hashem, with his great kindness, Hashem took pity on us, b'schus avos, with the schus of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, u'b'koichoi shel Moshe. It says in the Shira, Oshiro Hashem, ki go'oi go'o. Let us sing to Hashem, because Hashem is great. So one of the Mefarshim brings that the word go'oi is gimel avos hakdoshim. That was one of the pieces that played a major role in helping the Jews be zeichet to such kindness from Hashem. And the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu, uboka mayim bepneihem, and he split the water in front of them, bizchus kabolas ha-Torah she'asidin lekabel. Moshe Rabbeinu drew on credit. He drew on the kabolas ha-Torah, which the Jews had not yet received, but which they were going to receive. Shehi bechinas mayim. The Torah is always compared to water. V'alkein borchu hamayim hagashmiyim epneihem. And that's why these physical waters parted for them. They ran away for, they left for the Jewish people. V'avru b'soy chayom b'yabosha. And the Jews walked through the ocean in dry land. V'hamitzrim nitbu b'hem. And the Egyptians were drowned in those same waters. This was Moshe Rabbeinu having the ability to tap into, to draw on credit, to draw on the Kabbalah Satorah, which was going to take place 43 days later, you know, on Har Sinai. Paragraph Hey. Now Rav Nosson Sal brings us back to today. How does this apply to me today? V'achshav. Begolusenu ha'oru chamar hazeh. And now, during this long, bitter exile that we are going through, shehu kosher yoiser migolus Mitzrayim u'mikol agolis kamuva, which is worse than the Egyptian exile and all the other exiles that the Jewish people went through till now. Ki al golus hazeh nemar, because about our present exile, the pasuk says in Eicha, vatered peloim. The Jews went down incredibly, pele, wondrous, alofim, thousands of levels down. V'chein b'chol mokim shemedabrim hapsukim v'chazal mizeh agolus. And so too you'll find throughout the Torah, whenever the Torah speaks about this exile that we're going through today, mafligim bo'itzim arichus umariru zeh agolus. They speak in incredible terms about how long and how bitter this exile is going to be. Kimavur b'midrashim, as we find throughout the Medrash. Ulefi arichas marirus hagolus, and based on how long and bitter this exile is, lo yoyef shel esoivli, it would be impossible for the Jewish people to be able to handle it. Lulei Hashem shehoyolonu, shehikdim refu olamaka, were it not for Hashem being with us and preparing the cure before the problem. Shekvar zochinu lekabola satoira b'mamad Har Sinai, that we already received the Torah officially on Har Sinai. V'gam achshav ein doer yosoim, and even after the Kabbala satoira took place, then even today there is no such thing as an orphan generation, as a generation that has no tzaddikim, no chidushei Torah. V'Hashem Yisborach sholeach lanu tzaddikim gedolim v'noiroim. Hashem sends us great, awesome tzaddikim, shemamshichem aleinu b'chinas ha'oras ha'oir ein soif, who are able to bring down to us some of that infinite light of Hashem. U'melamdim oisonu lehizbate leilav yisborach b'chol pam. And they teach us how to nullify ourselves, how to negate ourselves to Hashem all the time. U'bifrat be'eis tzor rachmanasana, especially during major times of suffering. And here, if you think about this, you can see 100 different flavors of this just when we read about the Holocaust, just that alone. You hear, think about this. You're talking about Jewish people. They talk about the Germans, Yamach Shemom V'Zichrom, as being intelligent, scientific. We see that these guys were garbage and filth compared to the Jews, compared to the ones who were in the concentration camps, who were rabbis, doctors, lawyers, businessmen, all kinds of intelligent people. A person who is intelligent, normally, you put prison clothes on him, you put him on, he's going to say, hey man, who are you? Who you think you are? You know who I am? You are nothing. You are zero compared to me. And the Jews responded in a few different forms of bitul. One form of bitul is they said nothing. How do you do that? How do you keep quiet when a rogue, a piece of filth, garbage, is standing there with his boots, with his big leather boots that you put on a cow? Who wears boots? Cows wear horseshoes on horses. Not on, you know, these guys with their boots and this, and they put them, they're in charge of the world. What are they in charge of? And there were Jews who responded in silence. That was their beetle. And there were other Jews who, when they were put to the test, the Germans said, curse Hashem. No. The German hit him? No. I'm going to kill you? No. You know, their beetle was saying clearly no, and you can do whatever you want to my physical body. There's certain lines that are not going to, or they told a German to kill another Jew, let's say, and whatever they told him to do, he did. Kill another Jew? No. Kill me? Kill me. Person says, kill me. That means I'm saying that my life is zero. My body is zero. You know, that's this beetle for Hashem. And if you read the different stories, there are all kinds of different examples of this, all kinds of variations of this. So Rav Nosson Zal is saying that especially when a person is in a state of suffering, that's when there are these different forms of bitul that come into play. One form of bitul is not to say anything, not to complain whatsoever. There are other people who their bitul is, I love Hashem, I know that this is only for my good, you know. I just went last night to be Menachem Avil, a close friend, sitting Shiva right here in Yerushalayim, whose mother, his mother passed away on Rosh Hashanah, and the mother was known as a tremendous Yirei Shemayim. And he was telling me when she was in the hospital, she had, started a year ago, but 11 months was basically without pain. The last month was very, very difficult. And he said during that last month, she was busy telling, when the grandchildren would come, she would tell them, you know what life is about. I want you to become B'nai Torah. I want you to sit. What is that? That's bitul. That's a person who's ignoring to a certain degree their own physical situation. They knew she was in a hospital. They knew that she did what she could on a physical level. Now, can't forget it. There's much more important things. The body is a temporary thing. It's 50 years, 80 years, whatever, and then it's gone. There's the spiritual, which is eternal. These are different examples of bitul. And one of the greatest ways that these great tzaddikim help us today is by bringing to us incredible new revelations in Torah, coming out with new sforim, new chidushei Torah, with which they give life, spiritual life and energy to us, and they give us the ability to stand up to all of our opposition, all of our opponents, and to negate them, to nullify them. When they try to overpower us, because when we do the beetle and we come back and our problems come back twice as strong, these tzaddikim have given us sforim to learn and things like that, which give us the power, this power of the Torah, to be able to still defeat the Sitra Achra in all of its shapes and forms. Ki b'chol pam mevat l'moysom al yedei ha-Torah ha-Kdosh she-shekvar zochin ul-kabal et gamosh rabbeinu l'shalom, because every single day we are defeating the Yetzer Hara, we are defeating the Sitra Achra with two weapons. Weapon number one is the Torah which we received from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, and number two, and using all the new revelations in Torah that the great tzaddikim have given us throughout all the generations. The Rashba, the Ritva, the Baal Shem Tov, all the different tzaddikim, each one of them has given us these nuclear weapons where a Jew who is zochet to study the Torah properly gets into it. All the problems are a joke. The financial problems, the health problems, the Arabs, all of that to them is minor. It's minor league stuff compared to this person who is way above all of that. He's in a different plane. Bebechinas, as Dovra Melech says in Tehillim, Zois nechemosi ba'oni. This is my consolation. What is my consolation? During my suffering, during my pain, during my poverty? Ki imroscho chiosni. Your words give me life. This is the consolation for the Torah is our consolation. This is our secret weapon. This is the thing which, if we connect to it properly, what we receive from Moshe Rabbeinu and what we receive from the tzaddikim throughout all the generations, we are immune. We are immune to the suffering, to the problems, to all the struggles of Golus. That's why we see tzaddikim. You know, they tell the story of the Chofetz Chaim, that one of the great, a very wealthy person once came to consult with him. He had a big, big problem, and somebody told him there's this great rabbi. He goes, great rabbi, he's one, he's curious to see him. So he goes, where does he live? Rotten. Comes to Rotten, he looks at this whole town looks like a dump. You know, maybe there's a mansion on the other end of the town where this great rabbi lives, he figures. So he asks, where is this rabbi, the Chofetz Chaim? They take him to the house. It's not a house. It looks like a hut. You know, very small, little, you know, very, very. And he walks inside and he sees the most meager, meager furnishings. A table, a chair, you know, everything, the simplest of the simple. And he's looking and he's finding, well, you know, this guy is so great. Where's the greatness? Where's it? And he comes and sure enough, he meets with him and he speaks to him. He consults with him. And he sees his greatness. He sees who this person is. That this person is billions of levels above him in knowledge, in understanding of life, in understanding of everything. But when he finishes, his curiosity gets the best of him. And he says, I have to ask you this question. I see you're such a great rabbi. What are you doing in this place? Where's your mansion? Where's your, you know, where's your stuff? So the Baal Shem Tov smiles, the Chofetz Chaim smiles, and he says to him, do you have your refrigerator with you? He says, Rabbi, of course not. You know, I'm traveling, I'm in transit, and my refrigerator is back at home, in my permanent home. He says, what about your bookcases? And he starts describing the different furnishings. He says, no, of course, Rabbi, I'm in transit now, I'm traveling. He says, I'm also in transit. I'm traveling now. Because the Chofetz Chaim knew what life in this world is really, that all of us on this earth are in transit. This is right. People who weigh themselves down by getting more and more attached to the materialistic world, they think having a little more, two cars, six cars, three refrigerators, bit more, three houses, another, they think that's going to make life better, that they think that's going to lead to fulfillment. They don't know that they're barking up the wrong tree. That doesn't give any. The Mishnah says, "Mar ben achosim, mar bedaiga." That usually, in most cases, when a person crosses that line of going into excess, this doesn't mean everybody has to starve. You only let eat bread and water. Each person on their level, to the degree that they practice histapkus, to the degree that a person limits their kesher with the physical world. To that degree, they can sail, they can float, they can go up. The more materialism, the more commitment to the Gashmi world, the more the person's wearing cement shoes, they can't take off, they can't leave. And when the problems come, when the sufferings come, they can't jump above it. They can't rise above it to where the problems don't hurt. He knows there's problems, but he's in a different place completely. These tzaddikim, a person would say the Chofetz Chaim, how is this person able to write all of this stuff? What about eating? And so what about just living and paying taxes, all the physical things? You know, I don't have time to learn for 3 hours. How did he have time? How did he do it? The answer is they understood. They understood the Golus. They understood. They read the map properly, and they knew. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Kol makabel olav oil Torah, noisnu mimenu oil derech eretz. If a person commits, that they want to become more and more involved in Torah, then Hashem removes from them the difficulties, the struggles, the problems of the physical world. If a person doesn't, if a person isn't interested in Torah, then they have to feel the full weight of this world, of the physical world. Now Rav Nosson Zal jumps back to the topic of Chanukah. Paragraph Vav, V'zeh b'chinas hadlokas ner Chanukah. Now we go back to, we started talking earlier about Chanukah. Shematisyohu ubono v'chol hatzadikim shebo yisaydor zohu lebitul anal b'shleimus. Matisyohu, Kohen Godel, and the other great tzadikim, how did they dare? You know, you hear this story and it sounds like the most absurd, ridiculous thing. The Greeks had an army, a regular army, a national army. They were a nation. You get a Kohen Godel and his sons who say, okay, we'll handle this. We'll handle what? You can't even handle one division. What are you going to handle? The answer is, what enabled them to do that was this beetle. They weren't operating on a physical plane. It wasn't 1,000 to 1. They jumped up. They went above the physical. They went to that beetle, to the Ein Sof. Ad shehim shichu achar kach he'ora gedolo me'irashimonal, to the point where they were able to bring down from that tremendous high place of light, they were able to bring some of that light down, shehu bechinas kabola satoira, which comes down in the form of receiving Torah. This is what gave him the ability to stand up to challenge and to defeat the Greeks. And because that light that they connected to was so great, so bright, they were able to bring that light down, not just for their generation, but for all the generations afterwards, that the Jews should be able to tap into that light by Yomim Haheim, Bazman Hazeh. Whenever in the calendar, that date of 25 Kislev rolls around, that light is reenacted. It comes back new and strong, and we have an ability to connect to that. And they established for us this holiday, these 8 days of Chanukah, V'tiknu lahatlik bohem ner Chanukah, and they established this mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles. Shezois hadloka hakidosha hu bechinas hamshochas ho'or vazrichu shel rishimo mi'abitu. Those Chanukah candles represent a taste of that light of the future, of that super high level, that infinite light of Hashem. Shemishom kabola satora, from which the Torah is received. That's the source from which we get the light of the Torah. Shaideze mizgabrim, the Arizal says, this is, here again, a person hears this for the first time, they're not used to these concepts, it sounds totally, what do you mean? I thought the Torah is the light. Isn't the Torah the highest light? The Arizal says that one of the reasons why we do Hagbah on a Sefer Torah, whether we do it before the reading, after the different customs, is when we're lifting up the Torah, we're lifting it up to and plugging it into its source, where the Torah comes from. There's a source of light where the Torah comes from. There's a light above the Torah. Oiraisa, it's brought in the Kutei Lachos in a few places, that quotation from the Zohar Kodesh, that the Torah comes from Chochma, from a higher source. Shaydezem is gabit kol hamemaleinu. And this is what gives us what gives us the ability to stand up to all of those who rise up against us. Shemizgabrim beyoyser beyoyser b'chol pam, and they keep coming back again, stronger and stronger all the time. Kederech shnei anoshim hanilchomim zebozekanel, like two people who are fighting it out, two adversaries. Avol alidei bechinas kabola satoira meoyer harshimonal. However, as a result of us receiving the Torah from that residue of that high-level light that's achieved when a person does that bitul, shehu bechinas hadlokas ner Chanukah, the lighting of the Chanukah candles is an example of receiving the Torah, because that is one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. This gives us the ability to stand up to our enemies. V'alkein heim shmoina simei Chanukah. Rav Nosson Zal says, now you'll understand why there are specifically 8 days of Chanukah. Kidei lahamshich ha'oras kabbalas ha'toira misharosha, in order to be able to receive this light of the Torah from its source, shehu bechinas yoyim hashmini, which is referred to as the eighth day, shehu bechinas bina, which corresponds to the eighth midah of Hashem, if you count from downstairs, malchus, yesoid, hoid, netzach, the eighth floor is bina, shekolu migimel rishonos, which is actually a combination of the first three midos of Hashem, keser, chochma, and bina, or chochma, bina, and das. Sheshon mechaz venitfas oir hazrichu shel rishimu. It's on that level that the shine that comes from that infinite light of Hashem, we said when a person goes up to that beetle today in Soif, when they come back down, they're able, even though the light leaves, there's like a film that's left in the bottle. We gave the example when you have oil in a bottle, when you empty the bottle out completely, there's still a film of oil left on the inside of the bottle. That's this reshimu that remains, that even after that beetle is finished, it's ended, the residue of that, the remainder of that, is found on the eighth floor, in Bina, in that place of Bina. Ki Bina Liba. Because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that Bina is associated with the heart. There are many psukim in the Torah that show that. Ulevavoi Yavin Veshav Varafavoi. There are many psukim in the Torah that show us that the place of Bina is in the heart. Shehu Bechinas Simcha. And that's also the place for joy, the source of joy and happiness. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Nosato Simcha Belibi. You have given me happiness in my heart. Shehu Kli LeKabbalas HaTorah. And Simcha is the vessel in which a person receives Torah. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Hashem will not associate with a person who is depressed or who's fooling around, only mitoich Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So the preparation, the vessel that's needed to be able to receive Torah is Simcha, which is in the heart, which is Bina, which is the place where the residue of that light, that great light, when a person has this tremendous high, finishes, is up there. Shenimshach letoich zayin yemei habinyan, which the person draws into the seven lower levels. Remember, we're up on the eighth floor, and we're shining, we're beaming a light down from the eighth floor to the seven lower levels. Shehim bechinas hazayin midos, which correspond to the seven midos, chesed, gevura, teferes, trumalchus, shehim bechinas klal ha-Torah, which represent the entire Torah. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, chotzva amudeho shiva, Hashem carved out the seven pillars of the Torah. Most of us usually refer to the Torah as the chamisha chumashim, five books. But the Gemara tells us that there's actually seven, because Bamidbar is split into three chumashim. You have that portion in the middle, Vayihi ben Soya Ha'orayim, which in the Sefer Torah you have those two upside-down nuns that block it off. That's considered a separate entity. So you have the Bamidbar up to there, you have that piece and the piece after. So Bamidbar, the Chumash Bamidbar is three chumashim, plus the other four gives you seven. These are referred to as the seven pillars of the Torah. So Rav Nosson Zal is showing us here that when a person does this bitul, he's going way, way above the Torah. He's going to this place of the infinite light of Hashem. He's connecting there for a certain period of time. When he can't stay there anymore, he comes back down and he brings with him just the film, the residue, which remains in Bina, which remains on the eighth level. And then if he's zeichet to throw himself into learning Torah, he shines from that eighth level into the seven lower levels, the light that's needed to fight off the opposition, to stand up to all the forces of the Sitra Achra.